Welcome to CFO Talk. I'm your host, Steve Rosewald, Chief Learning Officer at CFO.University. In this episode, we'll explore talent and its impact on business valuation. Today, we have two distinguished guests who thrive in the human capital and business valuation space. Dave Bookbinder is an expert in business valuations. Dave has dedicated a good share of his career to understanding how human capital impacts valuation. He is the author of the book, The New ROI, Return on Individuals, and host of the internet, TV show, and podcast, The Behind the Numbers Show. Joining Dave is Mark Arroyo. Mark is a seasoned business development executive with a passion for improving his clients' brands and culture, the ultimate goal being a step function increase in business valuation through greater stakeholder engagement. Dave lives in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love, except when the Eagles are playing, and Mark resides in New York, a city that never sleeps. Welcome, gentlemen. It is great to have you on the show.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Well, we'll get this thing kicked off. I'm so excited about this topic because human capital and how finance leaders and CFOs are getting involved in measuring human capital and its impact on valuation is such an important topic and not well understood. Right. I mean, we're still in the nascent time of really understanding this. And you guys are deep experts in this whole employee engagement, human capital, valuations. And so I'm so excited to have you both on the show. And we'll get things kicked off. Dave, if you don't mind, I'll give you a quick question. Sure. What are the key mistakes that executives make when leading people that destroys corporate value?
I think the key there, Steve, is one fundamental underpinning. And I think it's the lack of fully understanding the connection between your people and the value of your business enterprise. So it's about being intentional with a mindset that when you're leading your teams, every decision you make, every word that comes out of your mouth is going to have an impact on your people. And it can either be a positive impact or a negative impact. And if you're intentional about it and you're consciously aware of trying to drive employee engagement, which Mark is going to talk about, you want to do things like lead with empathy, show people that there's a vision and a mission, and getting them, as Mark would say, not only rowing in the same direction, but rowing in the right direction. So all of those things impact the business value because an engaged employee workforce is going to be more productive. A more productive workforce means a greater profitability, and greater profitability means a greater business enterprise, all other things equal. So that's why I'm on a mission to change the conversation about how people are being perceived from the accounting perspective.
I think, well, that's a great mission. And I think that's enlightening from a standpoint of what leaders have to do to create employee engagement and stakeholder engagement, which kind of gets over to Mark's, you know, where Mark sits on that whole side and what he focuses on. So, Mark, what remedies do you have on how to improve low employee engagement?
You know what it is, Steve? First of all, thank you for having us. Dave and I love talking about this. Dave hit the nail on the head earlier by saying that, you know, it's got to be leaders who are empathetic, leaders who are heart-centered, Steve, people that really care about their employees. And if you hear people talk about the fact that employees are our greatest asset and they do nothing about it, and there's strife, there's backbiting, there's you know, passive aggressive behavior, silo thinking, and lack of collaboration, then you're going to have a poor culture. You're going to have a poor engagement, and that's going to impact valuation. There are steps that we take in our process to get people aligned around a North Star, something that is purposeful, that they can do each and every day. Behavioral changes, micro changes in their current behavior that align with the promise that they make to every stakeholder out there. So if without that, without the benefit of having a plan of action where you're actually doing something each and every day, it's kind of like a ship in the middle of a vast ocean without a compass and without a North Star. You're just meandering all over the place. And what ends up happening is, you know, there's a breakdown in that communication. And as Dave said earlier, it's not intentional. And people start to feel that they're not engaged and then they quit quietly or otherwise.
You both use the word intentionality. And I'm thinking the budgeting process and the planning process, which very often, you know, is about sales and revenue and margins. You know, are you seeing the budget process or the planning process incorporate more intentional human capital activities to increase engagement and increase business value from a human capital standpoint?
It really is about the people that are there in leadership positions that have that empathy, have that heart-centered feeling, and they will put aside funds in the budgeting process to advance their people, advance the relationship within the organization. If they only care about the bottom line and they only care about, you know, the dollars and cents and, you know, people are really not their greatest asset. They may talk about that. They're not going to put that in the budget. And in the beginning of the year, when you start talking about a program like ours or like Dave's, they're going to say to us, well, gee, that's not in our budget right now. I don't know where to get that fund or where to get those funds. The organizations that do have that put aside, they're ready to go and they're ready to help and they're ready to grow the business to make it much more profitable, much more valuable.
Yeah. And just to add on to that, I think you've got some great role models across corporate America and around the globe. When you start to look at companies that are on like the Great Places to Work list and, you know, the Just Capital list of companies that are doing just things for organizations, those are the ones that are really taking the leadership role. And as Mark said, investing in their people. And during tough times when the economy is supposed to be bad and we're looming recession on the horizon and so forth, it's really easy to start cutting things that are people-centric, like training and development, just to pick one, for instance. But the heart-centered leaders, as Mark says, they're the ones that are leaning into this and they're doubling down on the idea that their people really are their most valuable asset. And I just want to add one other thing, just so the audience has context here. I'm not an HR guy. You look at my credentials, I'm a finance guy by trade and by background and what I do day to day. And I just happen to believe that people are a company's most valuable asset, and trying to connect the dots between the relationship of leadership, employee engagement, and enterprise value. And there's enough evidence out there that will point to the fact that the things that we're sharing here and the things that Mark is sharing are not just, you know, the woo-woo concepts of, you know, let's sing kumbaya and get people all aligned. That this really has hard dollars and cents impact on your business, and finance leaders really need to lean into this.
This is not an easy process, right? So when someone says, look, we want to really have an engaged employee group, and we want to eliminate this, the silo thinking and the backbiting and passive aggressiveness, and I want to invest in our people, I want to have a better communication between everyone and follow this North Star for the organization. That requires hard work. I mean, think about it in terms of a diet or exercise program. It doesn't happen overnight. It happens over the course of time. And, you know, the Sixers a couple of years ago, I know you're not a Philly fan, Steve, but they had a process, right? And the process had to be followed in order for them to get from a 7-win season to, you know, a 62-win season. It doesn't happen immediately. So this process, a lot of times CFOs might look at it and say, geez, there's not really a quick ROI here, return on investment, not a return on individuals. And then they say to themselves, look, listen, I can't afford to put that aside. They are making a huge mistake by not doing that, because it's a long-term process. And the new ROI, Dave, it talks a lot about investing in individuals, but it's a longer term commitment.
Yeah. And what Mark says is spot on. I've interviewed a lot of CFOs and CEOs who have been intentional about culture change. And the theme is always the same. 18 to 24 months is roughly the timeline it takes for employees to understand that leadership is serious about this. It's not just, you know, the latest fad. So it's got to become embedded in the DNA over repetition and time.
Good point. You know, I'll let you guys comment on this, and you just need to shake your head yes if you completely agree or if you want to add something. But the definition of employee engagement that I kind of liked was an emotional or mental attachment to the company. You know, that employee engagement is dependent on how that attachment is. Does that fit kind of when you guys think about employee or even stakeholder engagement? Is there more to it than that, or is it really that emotional and mental connection?
Yeah, I think you have to connect the head and the heart, Steve. I think, but the one thing is that's not good enough. Engagement is not just about connecting the head and the heart. Where are we going? is really the question. And if everyone buys into that process that I talked about earlier, or our purpose, or our North Star, or our role model, or our avatar, and everyone is jumping in that boat and all rowing in the same direction, in the right direction, that is engagement to me. It's not just the head and the heart. It's the head, the heart, and the hands actually doing something about it. So there's a lot of chatter out there about engagement. A lot of organizations love to do it. They don't know how to do it.
One of the assumptions we're making is that engagement, employee engagement, is a key human capital metric, and it improves profitability. And I think what we'll do is I'll get some information. I know, Dave, you have tons of it. Mark, I think you do too. We'll include that. So rather than go through all the studies that tell us this works, we'll make sure we include that when we publish the CFO talk. We'll use that statistic so people can, you know, validate that, yes, this does make a difference. So you think about employee engagement, the metrics, what, you know, how does a company know if they haven't engaged employees? And this is what gets into by the CFO and the finance function. How can the finance function help with these metrics? Not only improve employee engagement, but how do we help the company measure it?
In our process, Steve, we have something called an index of alignment. And that is everyone bought into this purpose. And as what we're trying to do with Dave and the new ROI is correlate the index of alignment and valuation. It's difficult to do because there's a lot of data out there. There are companies out there, as I mentioned to you before privately, who have measured stock price and publicly traded companies and engagement. And there is a direct correlation there, as well as some of the things that Gallup has produced over the years. So, you know, intuitively, instinctively, we know that when employees are engaged in the work, they care about each other. The leadership cares about their team. You know that they're going to produce more. You know that the productivity is going to be more and greater. You know that there's going to be more collaboration. There's going to be more profit as a result of all of that, right? And then the profit obviously rolls very, very nicely, Dave, into valuation. So, you know, there is a direct line there. It's a tough thing to prove that engagement equals valuation. But, you know, when we build all these data points, it's very, very obvious, Steve.
I'll help you just put a little exclamation mark on that, what you just said, Mark, for the finance leaders out there who want to get a little bit wonky and technical. It's evidence and documented that the companies that are doing these right things around treating their employees well and driving engagement enjoy a lower cost of capital. And in the valuation world, the value of a business is really a forward-looking exercise. It's a present value of the future economic benefits of the company that are discounted back to today's dollars at the cost of capital. So all of the things equal, the lower cost of capital translates into a higher valuation. It's all connected.
That makes sense. The lower cost of capital on a higher profitability. That's kind of a pretty valuable way to create value.
You know, one other thing that Mark alluded to, during this great resignation over the course of the pandemic, we learned a lot of things. And one of them is that people really want to be part of a bigger mission. Yeah, they show up to work every day. Yep, some just to collect a paycheck, right? But there's a lot of folks out there, not just millennials, who really want to be doing something more meaningful. The companies that are doing the transformations and tying the financial transformation to a mission transformation are the ones that are the most successful.
I think very few business leaders would disagree with that, right? I mean, but it's the implementation, because it gets down to the day to day. Hey, I've got to increase sales. I've got to reduce my costs. I've got to, you know, you're looking at, I got to increase my volume. And you kind of forget, well, who does that? It's the people who do that, right? And maybe that's, we spend too much time not using, you know, our whole teams in those efforts and trying to do too much ourselves. Maybe that's one of the issues that, because there's no business leader that doesn't believe engagement helps, right? And they don't, nobody's going to say, geez, I have poor engagement, you know, or maybe they're going to recognize it, but it's in my business, like, you know, aren't I doing all the right things? So how do we, when in the measurement of engagement, so we have the turnover, you know, it's one thing. That's a key measurement. We have the surveys. What else are kind of tools that leaders can use to start measuring engagement?
Well, a lot of it's retention too. I mean, it is getting people to understand what their mission is each day, and what are the things that I can do to improve each day. And, you know, is there constant communication? I see this all the time, Steve, and Dave and I do back-to-back shows at RVN Television. And what's interesting is that more and more I'm getting people that I'm interviewing, whether it's C-level executives or consultants, that talk about the idea of heart-centered or empathetic leaders. And, you know, as you, you know, the old command and control way of leading is passe. That, you know, 25, 30 years ago, that doesn't work today, whether it's Gen Z, boomers, or millennials. No one wants to be commanded and controlled. So if you don't have that level of communication back and forth, and I'm talking about true communication, not, you know, let me dictate to you what I'm feeling and not listen to you. I want to hear from you. I want to listen. I have two ears, one mouth. I want to listen to you. And that helps with engagement, Steve. It's not that difficult in terms of understanding. It's more difficult in terms of execution. I see this in my own, I saw it in my own business. I see it in my family's business. I see it in all the consulting work that we do. People are afraid. They think it's confrontational. It's not. It's having communication so that you have a better understanding of what people are going through day to day so that you can deal with that for them as a leader. And then you start to see emergent leaders coming out of the organization.
Yeah. And one of the things that leaders could do right now this afternoon is start to demonstrate appreciation and vocalize it and be specific about what they're appreciating in their people. Everybody wants to feel valued. Everybody wants to feel appreciated. Appreciated employees are going to do more. There's empirical data on that. And what if I told you, Steve, that a particular manufacturing company increased productivity by 6% just because leadership thanked the workforce? That's a fact.
That's pretty big. Big numbers on something that's really easy to do and frankly fun to do, right? You know, it's fun to, it's a lot less fun to tell somebody there's a problem than it is to thank them for
how hard is it to say thank you? I mean, come on.
And you know what? Be authentic about it, for crying out loud. Don't BS people. I mean, they'll see right through that. Be transparent. Dave, I appreciate what you did for me and for the company. You know, here is for you and Amy. You guys go out and have dinner together on us. Or here's some flowers, take them home, you know, take them home to Amy. Anything like that. But it's got to be authentic. It's got to be real.
You guys are really capturing here is really the shift in kind of executive leadership. You know, the technical skills, the things that got you there as a star sales performer or a great CFO or whatever, you know, whatever it might be. Some of those technical skills and that really isn't, I mean, the company needs to have those. Right. The company needs to have those. But as a leader, it needs to be much more focused on, you know, how your talent is being appreciated, being led, being trained and all that. And Dave, you start getting this into the new ROI. So do you want to tell us a little bit about how people can use the new ROI and in their businesses to improve valuation?
Yeah, sure. So just a real quick primer, the new ROI, return on individuals, started out as my journey to explore my belief that people really are a company's most valuable asset. And what happened was I wound up collaborating with about 20 thought leaders across North America, and it resulted in what became book number one. Book number two, The New ROI, Going Behind the Numbers, is a compendium of the conversations that I've had with leaders on my show, Behind the Numbers. And what those two books really combined to do is, number one, demonstrate that the connection between your people and your enterprise value is real, that leadership matters. It provides a roadmap from the various thought leaders who participated in these interviews that I've conducted. So you can, as a leader or an aspiring leader, understand the tips that you can need to implement, the techniques you can use to create a more engaged workforce, to build greater leadership skills. And then there's the empirical evidence and some wonky math that demonstrate that when you do these things, you will have a positive impact on your business value.
That's great. So I encourage everyone to kind of take a look at both books. I've read them both, and they're you know, got rabbit ears and their highlighters all over them. So appreciate that, Dave. And thank you for sharing that, the books with our audience. Mark, you know, what are the effective ways you've seen that companies can improve employee engagement and its impact on valuation?
You know, Steve, thanks. We've been doing this for about 20 years. My partner, Alcini, and I developed a program that helps get people together and rally around a purpose or a North Star. We do two things. One is we have a 4-hour half-day workshop that's called Pro Fit for Teams. We go out, we can do it virtually, get people rallied around thinking about their business as though it were a single person doing its best work on its best day. And once you get to the point where you have a consensus, where everyone believes that that is our North Star, that's who we are, we eventually get to the point where we have we build a series of ideals or a group of ideals or behaviors for the organization, and then drive down to each individual. What are the two or three things that you think you can do each day, micro changes in your behavior, that align with this promise that we make to all stakeholders, that will help migrate this culture, this engagement toward our avatar, toward our North Star role target? And then you have to follow up on that, Steve. It's got to be something that, you know, each individual is held accountable. You know, what are the obstacles that you're running into day by day? How can we help you overcome those? And as Dave said earlier, as that changes, as that culture changes, as engagement becomes more effective and collaborative, you start to see value go up. People become appreciated more, and you know they care about each other and they care about the employees that work with them and for them. So, two things: you got ProFit for Teams, and then BCAT, which is a much more BCAT is Brand and Culture Alignment Toolkit. It's a much more extensive program, and you know, as Dave said, takes time. It's 24 months.
Well, sounds like some really valuable programs for people to go through and to kind of move them off the old paradigm to the new, you know, human capital management paradigm. You know, I think about, you know, we talked a lot about employee engagement. But we also, the stakeholder side of things, the stakeholder engagement, do these same concepts apply? I mean, if you apply the concepts that from your book, Dave, and from your seminars, Mark, do they also kind of filter into then you're going to treat your customers better, you're going to treat your suppliers better? Or does that have to be different intentional programs?
Mark, I'm going to jump in first, if you don't mind, because I'm going to let you be able to correct me afterwards in case I blow this one. But my perspective is, and you've seen various quotes, I think Richard Branson is probably one of the most noteworthy of the quotes for this, that if you take care of your people first, your people will take care of your customers and everything else that follows. And I believe, and I've seen, that if you create this engaged environment where you've got people really bought into the mission and they become your brand evangelists, right? From a retention and recruitment standpoint, they're out there telling people that your company is a great place to work. Come on and work here. And they're also giving your clients and your customers much better care and much better service because they're bought in, they're engaged, and they care about what they're doing. So, and I think that ripples through for all stakeholders, and ultimately it impacts investors, of course, in a positive way, I believe, in terms of the manifestation of greater business value.
It's got to be a fully immersive, fully inclusive program, Steve. And what was interesting is that 20 years ago, when we first started doing this, we had a very, very large membership-based organization come to us and ask us if they could, if we could help them increase their relationships per member. So people know them for one or two services, and they really offer 200-plus services. And that relationship per member tick up from 2.2 relationships per member to 2.8 or 9 really changed the course of how they treated their clients, their members. And it touches everyone because, as Dave said, you know, and Al likes to make to quote this this quite often, people come to work for you the same reason they want to buy from you, right? So they feel that brand equity. They feel that connection to your brand. And you know, it touches all stakeholders. This is not isolated. And if it is, it's not going to be something that works. It's not about just the leadership or the middle managers or the rank and file. It's about everyone.
Well, let me ask you then a similar question in a little different vein. Would you suggest that where this whole journey starts, and call it the, you know, human capital mindfulness to lead a better, does it start with employees? Or is it more general? If I went down the road of, hey, searching for employee engagement and improving on that, is that the place to start this whole journey?
Totally. I mean, it starts from the inside out, Steve. It's got to be, you know, you get healthy from the inside and spread the word, spread the good news externally. And once you do that, you know, people start to flock toward you. And, you know, employees are an amazing, as Dave said earlier, we use the word brand ambassador a lot. When they become ambassadors for your brand, when they espouse things about your brand, your service, your product to their friends and colleagues and family members and potential prospects, the game changes. Everything changes. There's a great story about the CEO of, I think his name is Doug McMillon at Walmart. And he said, you know, we're going to have a hell of a time competing against Amazon. But the one nice thing about this is that we have 2 million employees. And you 2 million employees, if we can be, you know, turn you into brand ambassadors, rather than have someone walk into a Walmart and scan an item and then buy it from Amazon right there in the aisle, let's try to engage with our customers. And as that happened, just go take a look at Walmart's stock since Doug McMillon took over. It is an amazing trajectory. And that's the kind of thing we're talking about on a gigantic scale. But a company that's 5 or 10 or 20 people or 100 people, they can make as big an impact. But it's got to start from the inside out.
And I agree. I think everyone has a responsibility for showing up as their best self. But I think it starts at the top of the organization chart. I think the leader of the organization, the CEO, has to be the one to set the tone in terms of mandating what culture is going to be, what kind of behaviors we want to emulate, what kind of behaviors we're not going to tolerate. And there's a lot of no assholes policies being instilled across the country now from the folks that I'm talking to. They're being enforced and they're sending a strong message. And I hear stories where best intended leaders are trying to do the right things. But if one particular person in a particular office in a particular city didn't, quote, get the memo and still treats their people the old way, then the wheels just fall off. So it has to start at the top and it's got to filter all the way through leadership.
The fun part about this whole change is treating people good is fun, right? But the hard conversations are the ones that I think we really have to work on, where there needs to be improvement, where there needs to be, and how we negotiate those and show a human piece of that. Because being nice to people is that's just the way to be, right? That's great. But there's also those tough conversations that come to, we have to perform better. How are we going to do that? And how we do that in a way that that is well received and keeps that employee engagement up is going to be important. So, you know, you guys have so much to cover in this whole area.
And leaders can do that because, like Mark said, it's about just leading with empathy. I mean, empathy is one of the key criteria for excellent leadership and the impact on business value. I talk about that in the second book. But when you're talking about having the tough conversations, Steve, if you just remember that these are human beings, right? They have families, they have aspirations, they may have kids, they may have parents. They have the same emotions that you do, right? Treat them with respect. Treat them like a human being. Treat them the way you would want to be treated.
By the way, we're working with a firm out here called the Executive Forum, and we're developing a tool in this area. It's really revolves around, it's a leadership index, let's call it, but I really want to plug you guys into that. We're just kind of in the early stages of starting it, but I think you guys would have so much to lend to that. And anyway, I really appreciate the time that you guys gave us on this topic. Clearly, you guys are the experts in this area, and I sure appreciate you, you know, sharing CFO Talk with me today. That wraps up CFO Talk. Thank you, Dave and Mark. Really appreciate you joining us. CFO.University is a community of member scholars, companies, and trusted advisors committed to the professional development of chief financial officers. Learn more about us at www.cfo.university. Until next time, enjoy, learn, engage.